Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of European qualification action for Rangers. Strong words from Russell Martin at the weekend. How will they respond at home to Victoria Pilsen tonight? Celtic bolster their defence with a new signing, and Hearts beat Aberdeen on the final game of the opening weekend of the new season. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL. Now we're really back. We've got league action to look back on, European action to preview. It's like we've never been away.
I enjoyed the weekend. It was a slow burner. Obviously we're waiting for plenty of goals coming in at Rugby Park, where Marv was involved. We eventually got there. Good result, especially 2-0 down at half time. And then the weekend, I enjoyed the Sunday football, watched Hearts last night against Aberdeen. Very impressive indeed. But I think you touch on the big one, Gordon, tonight at Ibrox. Russell Martin, surprisingly for some people, come out and had a real dig at his players, a real go. Now, you can either say he's entitled to do that, because I think they deserved it, and that's not taking anything away from Motherwell. And he'll be looking for a response tonight. Will he get it? Rangers fans are going along to Ibrox and are numbers hoping that he will.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was brilliant, you know, this weekend's football. Like you said, top flight being back, a lot of new players in and around it as well. Tony Bloom coming out and saying that, you know, Hearts should be able to finish in second place and Celtic won't be worried about them at this moment in time, but Rangers should be. They start with a good 2-0 win at home to Aberdeen, and like you said, ourselves, 2-0 down at half-time and come back to draw 2-2 was a good result for us as well. So, yeah, listen, it's been absolutely fantastic. But I am with Gordon. You know, tonight is huge for Rangers in terms of the reaction from the players that, rightfully so, I think, you know, the manager's dug out. So hopefully the boys respond in the right way for him and, you know, they can go through in this European
Marv, time. You're in that side of it now. Would you have said that's the right thing? Because I know that one or two managers, I was reading the paper today, Martin O'Neill, for instance, on another radio programme saying, you know, he's done it very early, especially after the two games in Europe. Do you think it's a good thing?
I do. I think it's down to the players as well that you have within the dressing room. You know, I get some people saying he's gone a little bit early with it, but what does he do? Wait for 10 games, 15 games, and then suddenly say, I saw this from, you know, game one, but I didn't mention it. Then all of a sudden the fans are saying, why don't you say it straight away? I think it's good for him. He's laid the marker down straight away. And like you said, he's not dug anyone out personally. He's not mentioned names. But if you're within that category of player who thinks they fall into it and he's aiming it at you, you can do one of two things. You can react in the right way or you can go and sulk. If you're that sort of player that's going to go and sulk and not put on a performance for the team, then he's better off getting rid of you early doors.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. It is another busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, so get your calls in. Rangers fans, what do you want to see done with the team tonight? I'm pretty certain you wanted to see something change after full time at Ibrox. There was no Rangers fan happy with that performance. So what do you want to see done to the team? Give us your thoughts. What do you think should be changed? What do you think will be changed? Get all your opinions over to us right now if you can, and how you're feeling generally. Are you expecting a response? Do you think Russell Martin's words will have the desired impact? How do you see the challenge of Victoria Pilsen? And as usual, even better, if you're on your way to the game, pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. Don't forget, we're doing this all week. Every caller who calls goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer race night this Saturday. Should be a good day out and a good incentive for you to get in touch. Celtic fans, you've been calling on the club to make a new signing, and they have. I'm just looking at the official tweet from Celtic, which just says, "Welcome to Celtic, Jamai." We'll just stick with that so that Gordon DL doesn't get us in trouble.
Jamai.
JSP on the back of the strip, something along those lines. You all know the one. Celtic have bolstered their defensive options. Are you happy? Where do you see him slotting in? Do you think he comes in and is going to be an immediate starter? How do you see the rest of the business that still needs attended to? Hearts fans, Aberdeen fans, what did you make of last night? You rounded off the Premiership card at the weekend. A 2-0 win for Hearts at home around the time that Tony Bloom is talking about either splitting the top two or even going on to win that league. So what did you make of that game last night? And anything else at all, you know where we are. 01419511025. Let's set the scene at Ibrox with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, I think with the takeover and a new manager and new signings, this was the type of match that you'd have thought Rangers would be going into with real optimism. There'd be a real buzz about the place, but it doesn't really seem to be the case, does it? That poor display against Motherwell at the weekend, followed by that Russell Martin press conference that we all know about, calling out ego and self-preservation among his players. It means there's a bit of a strange feeling about things coming into such a big game, and those comments have led to so many questions from supporters. Who are the players that Russell Martin was talking about? How will the players respond tonight? How will that affect his team selection tonight? How many changes is Russell Martin going to make? And once that team is out there, I'm sure there will be a lot read into it as well. But the message really from Russell Martin for the players is to get on board or to go. So it'll be interesting to see just how he decides to line up tonight. We won't get that team news right now, but it won't be too long until we get it. There's still no Hamza Egerman or Tello Asgard available, but new signing Oliver Antman is available. Is he ready to be thrown in from the start after training with his new teammates? Will Max Ahrens continue at left back? Is Kieran Dowell set to start again? Plenty of questions, as I said. There is one boost for Rangers, and that comes because Victoria Pilsen's main man, Pavel Schultz, left to join Lyon today. He scored 20 goals last season, 22 the season before. He was their real danger man, but not available, of course, to play because he's now joined Lyon. So that will be a boost, you'd think, for Rangers, but can their own men get the job done tonight? I'll bring you the full team news from Ibrox when I get it.
But until then, it's a game of opinions and predictions. What do you think will happen to the Rangers team tonight, and what would you like to see happen? Because quite often, sometimes there's maybe just a bit of continuity and you try and keep things similar. But if Russell Martin's going to be so critical as he was at the weekend, surely there's some sort of change. And I'd imagine if you had your way, and I would never do a Hugh Keevans and speak on behalf of you fans, but Rangers fans, I'd imagine going by your opinions on the performance at the weekend, you want something to change from that team which played at Fir Park. So give us a call, please. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So right now, get in touch, give us all your thoughts, and like I said, every caller that makes it through into the hat for the pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer race night this Saturday. We're about 25 years on. Gordon DL actually still banned from Ayr races from when he lived down there. So I think give it another few years, they'll overturn it. Let's go to James, who's on the line. How are you, James?
Evening, guys. On the way to the game tonight, it's on the motorway on the way to the game tonight. Saying to the producer there, really, really hoping we see a big reaction from the Rangers team tonight. We were exceptionally poor second half, particularly on Saturday. That said, with 5 minutes to go or thereabouts, we're still 1-0 up, and you need to see these games out, even when you're not playing your absolute best. And once again, we failed to do it. Motherwell deserved a point. All credit to them. Thought they played really well second half. Pressed Rangers exceptionally well. But we have to see a big reaction from the team tonight, no question.
When you hear the comments from Russell Martin, and then he obviously elaborated or followed up yesterday, James, do you just think it's automatic that results in changes in the team? Or can there actually be a situation where this roughly the same players get to go and prove themselves, or how do you see it?
I think in some cases, Gordon, there's a couple of guys going to mention, and I know he gets mentioned all the time, James Tavernier, and I know he's the club captain, but James Tavernier, I'm going to use James Tavernier and Kieran Dowell as the examples, and I'm going to use them because when you look at the Motherwell goal on Saturday, can't remember who the Motherwell player is, but he nips in between the two of them very, very easily when he really shouldn't have. One of the Rangers players should have stopped him. But James Tavernier and Kieran Dowell, this isn't the first time they've, to be honest, let Rangers down. And we can, players can all have a bad game. Every player can. But this is consistently Rangers fans are seeing this. And I know that people will argue they're the ones that seem to be picked out more than other players. But to use them as an example, that's the whole right-hand side of the Rangers team at the weekend, pretty much. And they didn't produce. James Tavernier's game for many years has been about getting forward, getting the ball into the box. He's got loads of assists, and for £200,000, I don't think anybody can say he's been a bad signing, because he hasn't for that really small sum of money. But he's now 33, I think. He's lost that bit of pace that he had. His game isn't about getting forward as much. And he's never been the best defender, if I'm really honest with you. So I think there has to be changes. Those two would be certainly two of them for me. I think we need to move Max Aarons to right back, bring in Yefte at left back, who's maybe not everybody's cup of tea, and I don't necessarily think he's Russell Martin's cup of tea either yet. But to give a bit of natural balance to the back four, I think you could see Aarons struggling at left back. The guy's doing his best, but he's out of position. But not just them. I think there needs to be a couple other changes, and I think the manager was correct coming out and saying what he did, because as Marvin Batley said there, he could hold off and wait 9 or 10 games, and then the same thing happens again, and Rangers fans would rightly say, well, what did you take it for, in the first place? So some ways he can't win, but I think he's a strong manager, and he spoke his mind, and I think most of the Rangers fans anyway have been pleased to hear it.
What do you think, Gordon? Do those comments have to lead to changes, or is there a...
Oh no, there'll be changes tonight. Yeah. The one that I was surprised James didn't mention, I think Dessers will come in and start 11 tonight. I think he gave him a wee bit of praise when he came on the pitch. Mm-hmm. He was talking about what he's looking for, the right attitude. Dessers certainly showed that. You can argue Tavernier gets a goal. He scores you the goal at Firpart, gets you off to a good start. Yes, there were parts of Tavernier's defending that Rangers fans constantly going about.
I don't want to take anything away from James Tavernier, because he gets a very tough ride on the show. But do you think popping up with a header from a set piece is enough to sort of influence whether you are or not in the team? Would you not look at more of a kind of rounded...
Yeah, but I don't think looking at overall picture, Tavernier was the worst player in the park. I think there was a lot there, especially second half. You get back to everybody's crying out for the lad Aarons to be moved to right back. And if he does that, then I've not got a problem, because I look at my left back, I just don't think he suits the position. He continually gives the ball away. He gets caught short. He doesn't really contribute anything in that area. So it might be a case of, if you're going to leave out Tavernier, which I don't think he will, because it's a big night, it's his captain again, and we've seen it time and time again. Many managers have come in under Tavernier's reign at Ibrox and actually still play him, right? And they never strip him the captaincy. So they must see something in him that the Rangers fans clearly don't. And they look at Tavernier the opposite. So I think that'll be a big call if he leaves out Tavernier tonight. I don't think he will. I think up front, yeah, Dowell, for me, I feel sorry for him, because I don't think that's his natural position, right? Yep. So I feel sorry for him. But the fans, when you go to a club and the fans don't take to you, it doesn't matter what you do. It's very hard to turn them round. You've got to be exceptional every single game to get there, and it's not happening for Dow. So I would see him maybe drop him out tonight.
Would you be surprised for him to go centre midfield, Dow?
Yeah, but I don't think there's room in there what he's got in there. Yeah.
Unless, though, the consensus last night was that the people who need to check their ego and who fell into self-preservation mode, etc., where perhaps Raskin, perhaps Diomande.
I think it's too big a game tonight, Gordon, to leave these guys out. I think he's quite right to come out and have a little dig at them. And Marv's quite right to say that when you're sitting in that dressing room and you know, because the manager stares at you when he's talking, right, we've been there, Marv, haven't we? You keep your head down, but you know the eyes are right on you. You know, so if that's the case, I think it's too big a game tonight, Diomande and Raskin, to leave out. I think he'll play them.
I get that, because I don't necessarily disagree. I know they're big players, Marvin, but, and this is where the word if is doing a lot of heavy lifting, but if those are the guys that you were referring to, then why would somebody else bear the brunt of, if you're saying that the comments are so strong that they have to result in changes. Surely the most obvious changes would be the guys that you were referring to.
Well, that's the thing. That's a difficult thing for Russell Martin, because, you know, you come out after the game, as I said on the show on Sunday, you're quite emotional. Emotions are high. You know, you say the things that you do say, but ultimately he has to pick the best team for tonight's game. Now, sometimes these players get a chance to react in training, so he may have seen like a different attitude from them in training, whoever he is speaking about. But I also look at the substitutes he'd made against Motherwell, and Dow ended up staying on the pitch for the whole duration of it. You know, the three boys in the centre of the park all ended up coming off. So, you know, you're totally right in the sense of if it is aimed at one of those three, then it's very difficult to start all three of them ahead of Dow, who stayed on the pitch, who definitely ran hard. Yes, you know, I know James is saying that the goal came down Rangers' right-hand side, but I don't think he could do too much about it. So it'd be very, very interesting to see what he does. But also, as a man, you have to be very careful, because like you said there, Gordon, if it's aimed at certain players, and you know within the dressing room who it's aimed at, you know, they'll know 100% whether it's them or it's not them or who it actually is. If you end up leaving those players in for players who have ran hard for you, you know, you create yourself a real difficult situation.
Let's thank James, who made some very interesting points and made them well. Enjoy the game, James. I think Graham's also on his way. What are you expecting, Graham?
Well, I'm expecting a lot of changes, Gordon. It's going to be, because that was... Murrow were really good, don't take it on, but they were so poor, mate. They're going, I would take Dill, Danilo, Diamande and Tav out of the team and put the boy Aarons at right back. I know it sounds a lot, but I'm Tav's biggest fan, mate. I've stuck up for him for years, but that goal the other day, man, what was he doing?
My favourite quote last night, did you hear it?
No.
At first I thought it was just too random a description, and it just a little split second and it set in. I thought that's perfect. The guy phoned in and said that Longuello went through Dowell and Tavernier like it was a car wash.
Oh, brilliant.
Squeezed through the two. Oh,
do you know, I agree with Graham. I think he's not alone travelling to Ibrox tonight. I think they'll be waiting for that team to come out to see the changes, and probably the people will be talking about, well, that's who he's at because he's sitting in the bench. That's who he was meaning at the weekend. I think Rangers just now remember...
And that's what's quick, sorry. That's why tonight's team selection is so interesting, yeah, isn't it? Because that is almost an admission that that's who you were.
100%. Now, look, give them a bit of credit. They went through a very difficult tie, the last one, Panathinaikos. Very difficult.
Listen, this should be easier in paper.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, they've went to Motherwell, they've went into the lead, you think they were going to go and win it, and they didn't produce, and all credit to Mull. The way I look at Rangers just now, I don't know if Marv will agree with this, they look a bit unbalanced for me. Mm-hmm. You talk about, for instance, one of our best centre-halves is Souter. I think Souter's a right-sided defender. I think he looks out of sorts in that left-hand side. Aarons, we keep hearing, get him at right-back. He certainly doesn't look a left-back. Dowell is playing that into out roll up in the front three. He's a midfield player.
Yeah.
So just now Rangers are a little bit unbalanced for me, but it takes a bit of time.
On James Tavernier, because we will debate James Tavernier every night on the show. We have done for the last 10 years and we'll continue to do so, possibly long after he goes, Marvin. But on one hand, I think it's going to be a huge call. This is going to be big news if Graham gets his way. On the other hand, there were a couple of European games last season he was left out, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think Dujon Sterling played certainly one of them.
He was taken off in one as well, I think.
So, not totally unheard of if that was to be the case.
Yeah, it wouldn't be totally unheard of. Me personally, Jeffy has to come back into the team just for the balance that Gordon's talking about. And it's, you know, a lot easier playing a right footer at left back when you've got a left sided centre half who is a left footer. The fact that they're all right footed, for me, Souter should have never been moved from the right hand side of it because he looked really, really comfortable there. He was, you know, a rock for Rangers majority of last season. So it's made it more difficult doing that. I think Jeffy has to come back into the team. It's just who plays at right back. Me personally, I play James Tavernier. You know, I know Aarons has come in to put, you know, pressure upon him. He started a few games at left back, but I just think this is a huge, huge game for them. I would be going with James having it at right back and Jeffy at left back.
You're not having it, Graham. You don't think the captain stays in tonight?
I don't see the point in signing a £10 million right back and playing him at left back. And he's got two wingers on the bench on Sunday and he played a midfield player wide. What's the point? Why not just play guys in their position?
I think some of them aren't up to speed though, Graham. I think that would be the problem, especially when you look at the forward areas. I think there'll be an element of those players are slightly behind in fitness-wise. So, you know, he's probably thinking, if I put them out there, I'm putting them at massive, massive risk. If they do then get injured, we're saying, well, why did we play them so early? We should be able to beat Motherwell without them, without being disrespectful to Motherwell. You know, so it's very, very difficult. And also, you know, we're judging both fullbacks without having, you know, proper wingers in front of them, who would call wingers who want to get chalk on their boots kind of thing. So it's almost made difficult for them as well. But, you know, going forward tonight, I expect him to kind of roll the dice with it.
What do you think? Excuse me. You're looking at a new signing. He's just in the building. Mm-hmm. Would he be brave, not brave, but bold enough to say, do you know what? I wasn't happy with the weekend. So it can't get any worse. I'm going to freshen this up.
Mikey Moore can't play. He's not. Yeah,
he's not
the squad.
So they can throw him in tonight, and all of a sudden, a surprise for the starting 11. It'll be interesting. I'm desperate to hear what the team's going to be, but I would be amazed if he went along the same lines as he did at the weekend. I'd be flabbergasted.
Graham, you did come through Panathinaikos, though. I know it wasn't pretty, but you came through it. Again, on paper, Victoria Pilsen probably wouldn't quite be as tough an opponent. Can you find confidence in that, or has Saturday dented your confidence so much?
No, I think we could still go through it, but they just need to... It's hard to say it, but they just need to work harder. Against Panathinaikos, they were lucky. We got lucky, but we got through, and I thought, oh, well, that's good, they'll get better every year. But just work harder, put the effort in, and you'll get the rewards. I just think it's odd doing it hard work.
Well, thank you very much to Graham, who's on his way to the game. What are you thinking tonight out there? We'll get the team news very soon, so give us a call right now and we'll speak next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Diel are here, building up to kick off at Ibrox. Plenty of time to get other points across as well, so do get in touch. Everyone that calls tonight goes into the draw for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer race night this Saturday as well. So an extra incentive. I don't think you need an extra incentive looking at how lively these phones are already. So let's go, John, on the line. How are you, John?
I am fine, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I was just saying to your producer earlier on there, there's a really big shout here now for, as there has been for quite a while now, about replacing Tav. Now, it's fine. It's very, very well and fine. Everybody all shouting about that. But this young boy, Max Arnes, it's not as if he's come in and set the heaven on fire. And if we fling this young boy in the night in a European tie, and he shows kind of a wee bit of trepidation that he did last week against Panathinaikos, I thought he was like a rabbit in the headlights last week, to be honest with you, then it could finish his Rangers career, this boy. So we need experience tonight. Now, I'm not on here advocating. Tav looks as if he's coming to the end of his tether at Rangers, definitely, and I agree with some of the callers. But I don't think the night is the night to experiment with a back four that they haven't played again. But just on the thing about Saturday there, I think there was only been one change in Russell Martin's team in the three times he's played the two Panathinaikos games,
yep,
and the one on Saturday there. He's only made one change. So it's concerning for me that it's taken him three games to call this out. As in, has he not been watching? Has he been happy with the previous performances? Because I thought we were very ropey in the two Panathinaikos game. And then on Saturday, it came to fruition. So, I mean, to come in there with a double barrel shotgun there and blast away there at the weekend, it's fine and dandy. But when you do that, Gordon and Marvin would probably tell you, he's got to make sure this works tonight. Mm-hmm.
I really like John's first point, because it's... I think we're going to hear the majority of people saying, drop James Tavernier, mm-hmm, move Max Ahrens to right back. I know he's been playing out of position, but has Max Ahrens, does he deserve a slot at right back just now, if that's the right way of phrasing the question?
On form, absolutely not. I totally agree with John. Look, the lad's just in the building. It takes time. He's getting played out of position, but it's well documented that he's played there before. And even the manager said, look, he's been comfortable, mm-hmm, there. He's played there at Norwich and stuff like that. So the thing that worries me about him is it's not just the position, the way he gives the ball away. He's offered absolutely nothing for me. Now, I'm not writing him off. Let's not be kidded here. It might be a case that he needs that switch to right back to feel more comfortable. But your point you're making is, if you're looking at Tavernier, and now Tavernier, the captain, gets left out of the team tonight and Aaron's gets put to right back, I'd be sitting there saying, you deserved your place in the team as well. And for me, the answer is no.
Yeah. It would just be a bit easier, Marvin, wouldn't it, if Max Aarons had come in, done really well at left back and put in a really good shift and shown real signs, but maybe fell a little bit short in certain areas. You could say, right, cut him some slack. He's, you know, you can see there's something there. Move him to right back, drop the captain. But I wonder if it's as simple as that.
No, for me, it's not as simple as that at this moment in time. And I agree with what Gordon's saying there. He's not done enough in terms of being a left back. And listen, I know it's a totally different position, but some of the basic things he was really struggling with, as John said there in the European game, he looked like he was really struggling with the tempo of it. He looked like he's struggling kind of in intensity when he was having to defend and then transition going the other way. So, you know, I 100% agree, you know, that Jeff needs to come in at left back. But I just think for now, James Tavernier stays at right back. And listen, if James Tavernier's performance don't improve or they begin to regress, then, you know, Max is there behind him to take the position. But I don't think he deserves at this moment in time to hop across to right back and James Tavernier to, you know, leave the team.
Do you expect the appropriate response tonight, John?
I've got a funny feeling Tav will be dropped tonight. You know that? I don't know. I think he will. As I say, the manager's there. He's the manager in this team. He's wanting to make his own mark. But just on a wee side issue here, I was talking to it at the weekend there. See, when a manager comes in like that and he's wanting to make his own mark on that, maybe the first thing he should have done was pull James Tavernier aside and says, in the long term here, I'm building my team and I'm going to actually replace you as a captain. The same as we, Dick Dunn, with Amoruso, with Barry. And put his marker down on there. But unfortunately, I think the problem we've got now is we haven't really got a standout guy that is going to take over for Tav as captain now. You know, so I think if you're going to put a marker down, the first thing you should have done is put your marker down with saying change of captain and make another captain and, you know, find one within the group that could have led the front, and it might have eased a wee bit of pressure off James Tavernier, you know. But that's just a wee side issue, you know, for me regarding the captain and Tav. But other than that, no, I'm as I say, going back to my original point there, I was a wee bit worried about Max Aarons last week when I especially the away game. You know, he caught ball watching, bobbling the ball. His distribution was terrible, you know. And I just think that it could be putting maybe a wee bit of undue pressure on the boy straight away so early in his Rangers career. That's all.
Well, I think we've got the answers. John and others have been posing the questions. Andrew McLean can tell us what's happening.
Well, the big interest was who were the players that were going to drop out of the starting lineup first of all. And those players are James Tavernier, Kieran Dowell, Nicholas Raskin and Danilo. So four changes for Russell Martin. And I'm sure many people will read a lot into that. The four coming in: Jeff Day, Oliver Antman for his debut. Lyle Cameron starts after getting praise from Russell Martin at the weekend, as does Cyril Dessers. So it's Jack Butland who continues in goal. The back four, Max Aarons shifts over to right back. It's then Nasser Djiga, John Souter and Jeff Day. Then the midfield three, Joe Rothwell, Mohamed Diamande and Lyle Cameron. Oliver Antman on the right, JD Gassama on the left and Cyril Dessers leading the line. The substitutes: Kelly, Tavernier, Cortez, Barron, Bairami, Dowell, Fernandez, Raskin, Rice, Gentles, Curtis and Danilo.
What do you make of that, Gordon Deal?
Oh, that's big news. That's big news. Look, I'm surprised, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's something really hit me there with Raskin. Right, now I know he's not been great and he wasn't great at Fir Park. Near the end of the season he was absolutely brilliant for Rangers. In fact, we had people on this show talking about give him the captaincy, he's the future. They were looking at bids coming in for him. They were worried that he was going to leave the club if the money was right. And all of a sudden, That's a massive call. I don't mind that. I honestly, she's a Rangers manager. You come in and you say what you have to say at the weekend. For me, you've got to act on it. And I think Russell Martin's went brave tonight. Antman comes in there. He's decided freshness. In you go. I thought Dowell would go out. Dessers was a certainty to come in there. Aarons, for me, has got to produce tonight, Gordon. He really has. He's got a chance now to play in his natural position. He'll be judged there tonight.
So to show that the last couple of performances have simply been down to being out of position.
Yeah, I think this guy, Russell Martin, and I'm glad to see it because I think sometimes a club like Rangers need that, right? He's made big calls tonight, four of them. He's left out his captain, Tavernier. And that's not because the fans want him left out. He's decided, right, if you're not going to produce, you're out. Raskin, to me, is one of the biggest calls of the season.
You think that's bigger than Tavernier?
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Is that because he is now obviously who Russell Martin was referring to? Am I exaggerating that or what?
Not even because of that. I think because of his performances, Gordon said there. His performances last season were unbelievable. You know, in a time when a period of Rangers looked like they were struggling, Raskin was the standout performer. You know, like you said, the fans were calling for him to be captain. You know, he's gone away of Belgium. He's done extremely well. And I can have a bit of sympathy for Raskin as well because he's been played out of position now. You know, he's now been played back as a number eight. I think we saw last season when he first came into the club, they were trying to play him as an eight and it didn't suit him. 100% he's a number six. Obviously, Joe Rothwell's come into that position and he started in there. Raskin's been bumped up to a number eight and now he finds himself out of the team. You know, so it's one of them. It's a huge, huge call. I agree with Gordon, though. If you're a manager of such a big football club, you have to make these calls and hopefully for Russell Martin it goes correctly because if it doesn't, you know, there's now a lot of angry players that have now been left on the bench today and also a lot of angry fans.
Well, Joe, you called in before the team was announced, but now that you've heard it, has the manager got it right tonight?
Absolutely. First of all, good evening, panel. Hello. Absolutely, yeah. I've been on the show many, many times and I am, believe it or not, a James Tavernier fan. I have criticised him over the years because, to me, it's obviously, at times he's deserved it. But as I heard one of you saying earlier on, James Tavernier has been at Rangers through all of these different managers, Clement, Van Bronckhorst, etc., etc. I think, as one of your callers mentioned earlier on, Russell Martin should have come in at the start of the season and said, listen, I appreciate what you've done here. You're in the final year of your contract. You'll get limited game time. We're going in a different direction. And I think this is what needs to happen. There's been a cancer at Rangers for a long, long time. And there's been issues on the park, off the park. It looks as if we've sorted our off the park issues. Now we need to sort the on the park issues. Now, we all knew the weekend, I mean, and we've all heard that apparently it was Raskin and Dio Mandy that were the targets of Russell Martin's comments. I also thought Kieran Dowell, where I do feel sorry for him, and everybody loves a good comeback story. I mean, it would have been great if Kieran Dowell come back up here, ripped it up and was a regular or played a good part for Rangers. Kieran Dowell, in my opinion, is not a Rangers player. Birmingham, League One, that's his level, and that's probably where he'll end up back. But I'm pleased that Russell Martin has had use my words carefully here, that Russell Martin's had the courage to do what should have been done a long time ago. Now, that's not to say Max Ahrens is going to rip it up, but he needs to be given a chance in his normal position. Tavernier and Dowell, for that game against Motherwell at the weekend, the two of them, somebody should have stopped the boy on the way through. None of them did. The two of them just stood there watching him. I'm sitting outside Ibrox just now, just about to walk up. I'm hoping that this is going to us turning in the right direction here. Also, with the left-back position, Russell, we're signing attackers, which is great, but Russell Martin needs to be banging Dan Purdy and Kevin Thirlwell's door saying, I need a left-back here. A left-back and a centre-half. We drastically need a left-back and a centre-half. This boy, Antman, that's come in, goals and 18 assists last season, that's brilliant, but we need a left back and a centre half as soon as possible.
Yeah, there should be a bit of excitement in theory about a new signing who comes with a decent pedigree, you know, coming straight into the team tonight, Gordon. It just feels like because he comes in as part of all those other big changes, he's not taking the headlines.
I like the fact that, look, if you're signing them, some managers go, well, he's not up to speed training with the players. He believes in his ability. Listen, get him out there. He can excite the fans. He must know that he's got something different to offer, a bit of freshness in there. You go with the captaincy, I'm looking through that team. Will it be John Souter tonight? Or will it be Jack Butland?
Probably Jack Butland
who'll take the armband. But it doesn't really matter. The big call's been made. Now, the thing about that, a lot of Rangers supporters going along to the game tonight listening to this show will be delighted that Tavernier's probably been left out. I think he gets a real rough ride at Rangers, I really do. Look, I thought the last two European games, he's not been at his best. But I don't think anybody has really been the standout. But I go back to Gordon. I think that's a massive call we're asking. I really do. I think that's a big, big call. And do you know something? If it works for the manager, he set down that marker to everyone then.
Thank you very much to Joe. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Clyde One. £546,000 up for grabs. If you want 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or for one entry, text YES to 61025. Same story, texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. So you can also call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday, so please do not miss out. Just answer the call. The £546,000 would be yours. Head over to makemeawinner.co.uk.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dieller here. So much reaction coming in to that Rangers starting 11. If you want to change the topic and move on to something else, please do. But this is clearly catching the imagination because the phone lines are lighting up. George, give us your thoughts, please.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Hi there. I just wanted to phone up just to see what Gordon and Marvin thought about obviously Ant-Man starting. I'm actually over the moon because Kieran Dill nearly dropped. I'm so buzzing that Max Ahrens is now playing right back instead of Tav. Tav's been amazing, but Tav should have got sold 2 years ago. He's well past his sell-by date. And obviously Raskin, he's just not been producing the last few games, so Cameron's came in as well, and then obviously Dessers back in for Danilo. So yeah, we're on about Ibrox now, but actually buzzing for the starting 11. I really didn't think Russell Martin was going to do it, but I'm actually really so happy that they've made the changes tonight.
How do you think... I feel like Dowell and Danilo's a bit more... Well, it's not as controversial, is it? You know, Dessers was going to come back at some point. Dowell playing out of position. Obviously, it's the other two. George, how do you think James Tavernier and Nicholas Raskin will be feeling here? Do you think they just need to thrive on this and bounce back? Because you can understand why people are now putting two and two together. And maybe Russell Martin will say this is not the case, so totally respect that. But a lot of people will say, oh, well, it was obviously them that he was, you know, speaking about at the weekend.
I was really worried, though, because at the weekend... I thought Dill played the 90 minutes. I thought Tav wasn't great, but I really thought he was talking about Nico Raskin because he was talking about the ego. Nobody had put a bid in except for Dessal. So I was getting really worried that Dill and Tav wouldn't get dropped. Tav scored at the weekend as well. And I'm a big Tav fan. I love Tav, but I just feel people keep going, the thing as well, people keep going about Tav's numbers. Tav's numbers are great, but the last 18 months, Tav's numbers haven't been great. So he's getting to that stage where, yeah, bit part player can come in Scotland, Ibrox, but big games, he's just, for so long now, just been crying out for somebody else at right back. And I heard Gordon earlier on in the car, he was saying about Max Ahrens hasn't really deserved to play right back. And he hasn't been great at left back, I totally agree. But he's a right back, he's not a left back. So... let's see what he can do tonight at right back. I'm actually so excited for it now.
George is right, I think, to draw on, you know, what bits of Russell Martin's comments from Saturday seem to be the most relevant. Again, Russell Martin, I think he said yesterday it wasn't about individuals or whatever, but it's just impossible then to separate that for most people in their head. And the line about Cyril's the only one we've received a bid for, and look at the way he runs about, it just felt like it had to be then about players who maybe thought they were going to be on the receiving end of bids. Yeah, yeah. Does that make sense?
I think he's trying to probably, what you call in the game, bring Raskin down a peg or two. You know what I mean? He's obviously, he got into the Belgium squad last year. He got a lot of praise for the way he finished the season. Rightly so, I thought he was excellent. He was handed the captain's armband at one point as well. And then all of a sudden this season, it's not went too well for him. But listen, it's only early, we've got to say that, but it's a certainty that he's not been happy. I think Danilo's another one. I think Russell Martin will feel a wee bit disappointed with Danilo. He's given an opportunity, he praised him for his pre-season, the way he worked and everything about him, Everybody was thinking this could be the season for Danilo. Mm. If Desers leaves, he could be make that number nine jersey his own. He's another one that's been he's let the side down for me. He's not done enough. I'm delighted to see Desers. As I say, I watched interviews at the weekend, and sometimes as managers will say, you should never do that. Do it inside the dressing room. Well, I really liked it. I really did. I thought, well done, Russell Martin. You've come out there. You're not afraid to say what the fans are thinking anyway. I don't think he's buying into, I'll try and win the fans over. I think he's just an honest guy that's coming out there and saying, look, I've got a job here to do. It's a big job. I need players that are going to put, you know, the shoulder to the wheel, even when it's not going well. And he's named one or two tonight, because that's guaranteed. And he's made four big changes. Mm. And I like that style of management.
Thank you very much to George. Want to squeeze one more in before the break if we can. So let's bring in Andy, who's a Celtic fan. Take it away, Andy.
Hi, mate. How's it?
Good, thank you.
What is? I was just kind of wondering what you guys would think. Is what I'd said to the producer was, I was thinking that maybe Luke McGowan should start ahead of Rio Hatate, because I believe Hatate's a bit of a luxury player. But, and Celtic have had players like that before, like Samaras, Nakamura's. But everything that Luke McGowan comes on, he does something. Like, he's always right up for like the game. And I think like maybe start with that in like a Champions League qualifier, so if we get into the Champions League, hopefully. But I'm just thinking, like, he is probably a better football player, but McCowan's always up for it. It's my
Tati works awful hard for a luxury player, does he not?
He puts the miles in, doesn't he? Yeah, listen, it's one of those things, you know, you always speak about it, players who do end up coming on for Celtic, especially domestically, they're normally played against, you know, a tiring team. You know, you watch that St Mirren game, I'm sure if the first 60, 65 minutes, St Mirren would have covered a lot more ground and been a lot more of a threat than they were, you know, towards the end of the game. And listen, that's nothing against Luke McCowan coming onto the pitch and scoring a goal, because still, he still has to come and impact it. But for me, Atate is your top midfielder outside of Callum McGregor. Listen, Callum McGregor's Callum McGregor. He's been playing that holding role. But speaking about the two number eights that are going to play, Atate, it's him plus one for me, because he covers an awful lot of ground. You know, he has a lot of quality. And don't get me wrong, I know sometimes, you know, in the Champions League games, the Celtic fans are saying, well, he's giving the ball away, etc. But it's because he's trying things. You know, he's not playing backwards passes all the time. He's trying to be progressive with his passing. And yeah, he's going to give it away from time to time. But yeah, I would never ever call him a luxury player, and I wouldn't be taking him out of the team either.
I think what sums it up for me is quite simple. If you were playing the biggest game of the season tonight at Celtic Park and you had the choice, Hatate is starting every day of the mm-hmm. week. Every day of the week. I like what Luke McCowan brings to Celtic, and I think Mar makes a great point that, especially at Celtic Park, and he comes on there and he gets a goal at the weekend. Correct. Teams tire near the end of the game, and that's not taking anything away from Luke McCowan. I think he does well when he comes on. I think there'll be games this season, especially when you're up against the weaker teams like Livy, that you can go and play people.
Give him a start.
That you can play, Luke. But in the big, big games, I think Hatate is a standout, I've got to say.
Andy, you've not convinced him.
I don't know. Well, it's for me, like, I'm not a Hatate fan. Like, I like the look of Negrin. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like the look of him on Sunday. But I just think Hatate just drifts out of games. And, like, Luke McKellen, you know what you're getting. You know you're getting a guy who's going to work his socks off.
So who would be your two starting number eights then for Celtic?
I would go with McKellen and Negrin. He looks good. And then obviously I'd have Callum McGregor, because Callum McGregor's an easy team sheet.
It's amazing that £11 million players not even get mentioned now.
I feel like you would hear quite a lot of Celtic fans who would maybe go Negrin over Ingles irrespective of the price tag. But Andy pays his money. I'm not out to change his mind. It doesn't really matter who I think's better. It just feels like we have this conversation a lot with Rio Hatate. It feels like he might be underappreciated.
Is it not because he sets such standards, Hatate? Hatate is a fantastic talent.
I don't even mean that. I wonder if also we overlook the fact that he plays a role where he's trying particularly difficult things quite a lot. So, you know, naturally not always going to come off. I just feel like he's got a heck of a lot of attributes.
Yeah, you notice it massively when he's not in the team. You know, there's a spell, you know, under Brendan, might have been at the start when he wasn't really playing, then he picked up the injury. And for me, Celtic are a weaker team, you know, without him in it. He has to start. He has to be one of the starting number eights. And like you said, Engels as well, speaking about him being on the bench. And it's always, listen, when a new player comes in, it's always, you know, fans are excited by it, saying he should start ahead of Engels or start ahead of whoever else. But you have to give him like 10 or 15 games to really, you know, make a conscious decision on who's the best out of them.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be a squad game. You see, you're listening to Brendan Rodgers. We can want to bring in more players. I've brought in a player today. I think there'll be more to come as well. So a bit of competition in there. Look, I think when you see Luke McCown coming from Dundee and what he's achieved so far at Celtic, I think the boy's been excellent. I do agree with Andy. I think he comes on there and puts a real shift in. I think he loves playing with the club. He loves everything about it. But when it comes down to ability in the big, big games, Hatate would be first all day.
You've made a new signing today, Andy, Jemai Simpson Pusey. I'm told it's pronounced, so don't you start. Pusey?
Well, I'm told it's
he's gone Jemai S-P on the back of his strip as well. Never seen the likes. Is that one, Andy?
I'm not sure on that one. I think he got a game last year for like City in the Champions League and stuff like that. And he's quite highly rated. I mean, I hope he's better. He's good because, I mean, we brought, obviously, Carter Vickers in to Tottenham, I mean, well, probably about 5 or 6 seasons ago now. And I'm hoping he falls into that mold and not the Austin Trusty mold because I'm not a big fan of Trusty. I don't rate him. Like, people have been trying to replace Scales for about 3 or 4 seasons and like Scales still started at the weekend. And I've got nothing against Liam Scales, but I would like Liam Scales as number 3. Yeah, I would like someone better than that, personally.
It's a massive shout, isn't it? Like you said, with Trusty being there as well, they've obviously brought in this young man on loan from Manchester City, and you imagine he's coming up here to play, you know, not to just sit around and be third or fourth choice centre-half. So I think Trusty was £6.5 million, and, you know, if we're going by the weekend, Scales is now ahead of him. He's now fourth choice centre-half at Celtic. And listen, you end up fighting in a lot of competitions. There's no doubt about you being Europe, and obviously the 3 competitions domestically, I'm sure they all get a go, but it'd be interesting to see who Brendan Rodgers has as a starting two. Whether, you know, whether Scales keeps his place and then he has to lose it, or the new boy comes in alongside Carter Vickers straight away.
Thank you very much to Andy. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to take on Marvin Bartley or Gordon DL. Get your calls in on 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here, building up to kick off at Ibrox, where Russell Martin has made some very interesting changes. He had a lot to say following the game at Fir Park, and he has made a number of changes, but significant ones. No James Tavernier, no Nicholas Raskin. Kieran Dowell and Danilo also came out of the team as well. There's a first start for Oliver Antman. Max Aarons goes in at right back. Cyril Dessers comes in, and Lyle Cameron as well. Big game for him. We haven't really touched on that in amongst all the other changes. So keep your calls coming. Celtic fans, you've made a new signing today. What do you make of that? Anything else you want to reflect on from the weekend? I think you Motherwell fans will be happy with the performance. Anything else out there, give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Huge news last night. Did you hear about this? Roger Hanna, so often the king of Beat the Pundit. So good that last season we put him on -2. Mm-hmm. We felt bad for him over the summer, reduced him to -1. And on his first outing back on -1, he lost.
So we're above Roger on the table.
Have you got a win?
I won on Thursday.
So there you go. And did you win last week?
Yeah, I won last week. Yeah.
So there you go. You're both looking down on Roger Hanna.
Rightfully so. That's what you get for being a snitch last season. Remember, he did me out of the 10.
He did do you out of the 10. Joe's in Finiston. How's it going, Joe?
I'm not too bad, yourselves.
Not bad, Joe. Is this the first time?
First time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any help or are you on your own?
I'm just on my own now.
What do you mean now?
No.
Sorry? What happened?
Oh, my missus is just about.
His missus was there and has decided to.
She's feeling a bit embarrassed. I'm going out here. Joe's going on the radio.
What's her name, Joe?
Alex.
Hi, Alex. I know you'll be listening in the other room. If he does badly, please don't hold it against him. It's tough when the pressure is on. Right, heads. Well, it's not even heads. I've got my new Super Scoreboard coin. But whoever is closest to me, and if you're on the live stream, you'll be able to see this. Marvin, you're the red side, the super scoreboard side.
He's a blue.
Oh, sorry. You're the blue side, the beat the pundit side of the coin. And Gordon DL, you're the red, the super scoreboard side of the coin. Happy with that?
Ah, get it up.
Oh, okay. And it is Marvin.
Ah, you're the blue.
Come on, Joe, you can do it.
Oh, wow, you're encouraging him.
Right, let's get rid of Marvin. Oh, not literally, unfortunately. Let's give him something else to listen to. Joe, you have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man, 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Who is the last player to join Celtic on loan from Man City?
Pusley.
Scotland keeper Angus Gunn set to join which English Premier League club?
Brentford.
Who was the only player to get a red card in the opening weekend of the Premiership season?
Pass.
Name either Brazilian in the Rangers squad.
Danilo.
Name any team Jim Goodwin played for.
St. Mum.
Who scored Hart's second goal last night?
Finlay.
James McFadden, Billy Dodds and Stephen McLean are connected by which club?
Motherwell.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Same set of questions.
See the start there, I was panicking, but they're easy after it. Just pass the first four.
30
Then you'll go on a run.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who is the last player to join Celtic on loan from Man City?
Scott Sinclair.
Scotland keeper Angus Gunn is set to join which English Premier League club?
Nottingham Forest.
Who was the only player to receive a red card on the opening weekend of the Premiership season? Name either Brazilian in the current Rangers squad.
Danilo.
Name any team Jim Goodwin played for.
St. Mirren.
Who scored Hart's second goal last night?
Oh, God.
Spittle.
James McFadden, Billy Dodds and Stephen McLean are connected by which club?
Oh, come on, mate.
St. Johnson.
Ah, brilliant. Great show.
Joe, what do you think?
Hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Producers, I'm going to really put you to the task here. Producers, give me a VAR. Get me VAR.
You kind of give him the Livingston one.
Give me VAR on Marvin's third answer, please. And it's crucial that we get this. I've got a bit of sympathy because Joe's going for the sort of obvious answer.
Who was it?
We should have probably worded it better. As in
the new player?
Before today, who was the last player?
I would say Patrick Roberts.
And it was Daniel Arzani. But do you know what? I quite like Joe just going for straight in and going for Pusey. Pusey.
Who did you say, Joe?
No, that's what he said.
Pusey. Right.
That's what he said. Oh, you try to catch him out.
He's a dumb fool.
So,
I think
we could have been better, but we'll go 0-0, right? None of you got it. Daniel Arzani. Angus Gunn is set to join Nottingham Forest, so goes 1-0, Marvin Bartley. The only player to receive a red card in the opening weekend of the season. I was furious with this question, Joe. I'm going to start taking ones like this out, but I forgot. He's the assistant manager of Kilmarnock.
Can't get that.
So I can't get it.
At Livingston. He's the assistant manager.
At Livingston, who played Kilmarnock. And then you said...
Well, who did I say?
What did you say?
No, I'm not
what did you say?
Tell me you got this right.
What did you say?
I'm not saying it.
Well, I'll just play it back.
Go
so
on,
you get a chance.
Go on, play it.
You called him Stranger.
So he did. Stranger in the night.
It's Strangler or whatever
it's
his name.
It's Stanger.
Oh,
nah,
come on.
No.
I can't give him that.
Stranger's a very different name. Who's called Stranger? Mr. Stranger.
I said Stanger.
No, you didn't.
Stranger.
And I'll just play it back. I'll play it
go
back.
Go on, play it back.
Because I was a bit...
Go on, producer.
Gordon, he said Stranger.
That's a Stanger.
Because I went, that's strange. He said Stranger.
No. That's a Stanger.
So it's still 1-0 Marvin Bartley. Producer says 100% you said Stranger.
They didn't even answer 100%, so I'm not even listening to them. Well, go on then, we'll go 1-0. Can't believe
still 1-0 Marvin. Name either Brazilian in the Rangers squad. Danilo or Jeff, they both got it.
Can't believe you could think that, sir.
The Jim Goodwin team, Celtic one appearance, St Mirren, Hamilton, Alloa, you both got it. So is Marvin still one up?
Yeah.
Stuart Finlay. Scored Hart's second goal last night. Equaliser for Joe from Finiston.
I'm being cheated here.
James McFadden, Billy Dodds, and Stephen McLean. Great Joe, shit. You just fell for it. You just dived in on James McFadden.
Did you go Motherwell?
He said Motherwell.
St Johnstone.
As bad as you were on Stranger, I'm impressed. You kept your composure there. St Johnstone's good because everyone forgets James McFadden played for St Johnstone.
Two games, isn't it?
So there we go. Joe, I tried my best. I tried to take some points off of him, but I think he's just pipped you hard lines.
That's all right.
Speaking of him, Pusey, in the first answer. You happy with that signing? How do you see that developing that area now?
I've not seen much of him, to be honest with you.
Do you think was it a priority position then?
No, really. I think we just need another two wingers. Maybe another striker, because Eda's no cutting it. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this new Japanese boy play more. He looks quite solid. But I could fit in with Maeda and obviously Hitati. Mm-hmm. But I don't agree with that boy, Andy, that came on and said Hitati's a luxury player. I really don't. Mm-hmm. He's a great player. But obviously, I'd like to see Ingles play more. But this Negrin's looking good as well. So I'm happy with the squad, but I think we need two more wingers.
I'm fascinated by the signing because I think you alluded to it. Ultimately, fans are mostly interested in the starting 11. See if he comes in and he's the best option and he improves the team. Brilliant. Like, it's almost like, who cares about the rest? But you might have a scenario then, if he is, or even if he's similar with Liam Scales in the eyes, 6 million Austin Trusty for last season becomes your fourth choice centre back.
I know.
So listen, that can happen in football, but you just wonder where he will slot in the pecking order.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He's a young player, and I think Mar's right. I think that he's not coming up from Manchester City to sit on the bench week in, week out. That's not to say that he deserves to start.
We hear that a lot,
right?
Well, yeah, but you know.
But there's still deals that get done that has to get so many minutes. But I'm sure Brendan Rodgers won't just put him in for the sake of putting him in. You're right, Gordon. The big one for me was Trusty. There was a point when Trusty was playing with Carter Vickers. I thought they were developing a good partnership. And then all of a sudden, he went right off the boil. Scales has come back in. Not a fan's favourite, to be honest with you. Ended up at left back at the weekend because he, obviously Kieran Tierney had to go off. So it'll be interesting if Brendan Rodgers decides, do you know what? I'm going to throw him right in. I don't care what age he is. I obviously believe that he's got the ability. He's had a good upbringing at Manchester City. Of course he has. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, and Joe also spoke about, you know, the top end of the pitch. I really do think Wade is going to end up being the number 9 for Celtic. And the reason I say that, I think, you know, Kieran Tierney is very, very different to Greg Taylor in the way that he plays behind Maeda. He wants to be the one that's wide, coming down the line and putting crosses in. Where we had Greg Taylor, who preferred underlapping. I don't think Maeda looks too comfortable when he's having to become the inverted winger. I think he's going to end up being a number 9. I think Brendan Rodgers will bring in somebody else to play on that left-hand side who prefers to come in maybe on their right foot. And so Maeda's one of the ones to run in behind, etc. But maybe someone who's a little bit more technical on the ball and more of a creator than, you know, Maeda, who wants to go down the line and put crosses in. You know, I think they'll play him as a number 9 and it will free up Tierney as well at left back and then give him options in wide areas. So it'd be interesting to see what they do.
In theory as well, is it easier to find a top wide player than it is to find the top number 9?
It's cheaper as well.
You know, just because we always talk nowadays, don't we, about how even at like the top level, they're kind of dying out. If you want to make it really simple, teams used to always play with 2, now they play with 1, so there's half the amount that, you know, that they're and it maybe filter its way down to every level. It's all relative. I think it's easier as well for Celtic to find a wide man because they know that Maeda can do the job.
Yeah,
the middle.
I'm with Marv. If I was picking my strongest team, I think I would have Maeda through the middle.
Right now, though?
Yeah.
But who plays wide then?
If everybody's fit, for instance, if Jota and all that was fit, Jota would be playing obviously in the left, Maeda would be through the middle. I just think that it's no coincidence he scores the amount of goals, he gets player of the year, he was absolutely sensational, and most of it came from that centre area for me. I think it puts a fear of death into defenders, and with the pass back now very popular in football, goalkeepers as well. I agree. I think Celtic will bring in more players. They will do more business. There's no doubt about that, because Brendan Rodgers came out at the weekend and basically, you know, said, look, get me back here, or maybe next season I ain't going to be standing that dugout as your Celtic manager. So I think they will listen to what Brendan Rodgers is saying. Yeah, there's a young player come in, not seen a lot of them, but I think there'll be more to follow before the window closes.
Thank you, Joe. Let's get the thought of James on the other line. Take it away, James.
Good evening, Gordon and Marvin.
Hello.
Evening, man.
Celtic fans, I'm concerned about the Champions League. If we lose that match against whoever it is, Slita Bratislava or whatever the other team's called, we drop into the Europa League. That is not what Brendan Rodgers wants. The fans don't want it either. They want it in the Champions League, but there's prestige, money, exposure, and you put yourself up against the best. Everybody's happy for months. But we lose this game coming up, we've lost 40 million. If we lose it, my point is, do you think Ben will walk if we lose?
Nah, I can't see Brendan Rodgers walking at all. You know, I think the back end of last season, he was asked about his future and he said he'll 100% be here, for the duration of his current contract, which ends at the end of this season. I spoke on the show on Sunday about all managers want to be backed, that they all want more players in. And Brendan Rodgers has earned the right to have that as well and earned the right to come out in interviews and say what he did say because he's been nothing but successful at Celtic Football Club. Yes, he's brought in some players that, have gone on to do better things and he's got some players that he's brought in that are still at the football club at this moment in time. I think, everyone can see it mathematically. They're down on numbers. They're down on quality, unfortunately, the injury to Jota as well. But even if, Celtic aren't to go through in the Champions League and they have to drop down to the Europa League, there's no chance for me, in my mind, that Brendan Rodgers will walk away from Celtic Football Club. No way.
I agree with that. I don't think he will. I think he's come out and stated that already. So I think he'll keep that promise. If he gets put out this game and next season comes, I don't know I'd be confident that he would have signed a new contract and will still be the Celtic manager. But for the season, I do 100% believe that he'll still be in that dugout.
The other bit, James, is unfortunately, is that not just the nature of the qualifiers? I mean, they are fraught. There is a lot of jeopardy, even although I know there's a perception Celtic aren't in the best place they could be. But Slovan Bratislava, Karat Almaty of Kazakhstan, the draw could have been worse. Do you not still fancy Celtic to go through?
Well, I hope so. But the whole point is, it's called, if you don't give your manager the tools to do the job, then he won't be successful. We do not want Europa League. Never. I'd rather watch 8 Champions League games, the excitement of who we're going to get. This is, it could be anybody. It's fantastic to watch. But the point is, if we did qualify, Brendan will get a couple of pounds. He'll get scraps off the table. That's just my honest opinion. If we dropped down to the Europa League, his prestige, I didn't come to Celtic Park to play in the Europa League. I came to Celtic Park to play in the Champions League, and he's not been given the tools, i.e. cash. That's what I think.
James, do you think there's potential players out there that are maybe waiting to sign for Celtic or who Celtic want are saying, we need to wait to see if you're in the Champions League first because that's the competition we want to play in? I think there'll be a calibre of player that you guys are looking for that will come in and enhance your starting 11 rather than be squad players who will be saying, listen, if you're in the Champions League, 100%, I'll come and sign. But if you're in the Europa League, I'll probably look elsewhere. And that might be something that's, slowing the transfers down as well.
Do you think that happens, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree. I don't.
You think players don't wait to play in the Champions League?
No, if you're coming to... If you're thinking of coming to Celtic, you see the prestige of coming to Celtic, the size of the club, everything about it. I know that you want to play at the highest level. I take that on board, of course you do, but I don't think they'll be sitting there basically saying to their agent, right, we'll watch these 2 games. If they're successful, we're signing. If it's not,
there might be some. I just wonder, obviously Celtic are in a certain market for players, aren't they? I mentioned, because the obvious ones jump out. Now, I take maybe Arne Engelswood then, because you're an £11 million player, but I feel like Celtic's best signings in recent seasons, that Hatate, Matarelli, etc. Nigrin,
you can't keep finding those players.
I know, but
the market
what I'm
gets so much more difficult to keep doing that. Everyone's trying to do that.
The market Celtic is in, do you think those players are turning their nose up at Europa League?
I think they'll be saying, if I can play in the Champions League, listen, we're talking about the size of Celtic Football Club or whoever else in Scotland because we understand Scottish football. But see, outside of that, in Europe, players are just saying, I want to play in the Champions League. So if someone comes to them and says, I can get you someone who has 20,000 seat stadium, but they're playing in the Champions League, players are going to go there because at the end of that is the elite of football. Playing the Champions League is the elite. A lot of players don't understand the size of these football clubs until they come here. I was the same being down in England. I'm only a few hours down the road. I didn't understand the size of Celtic when I was down in England. Now I understand it because I'm here. But if I was lucky enough and teams were saying to me, well, one of the big two up here want you, but also someone in Europe wants you and they're in the Champions League, I'd have probably gone to play in the Champions League if the money was similar. In fact, the money's probably more at other places as well because ultimately, domestically, we understand what our game is. But financially, players can probably get more money from going into smaller clubs in Europe.
Well, it sums it up. You're changing the pound sign.
You and me both. That's why we're together.
Anyway, we'll leave it there. Speaking of signing defenders, it's not only Celtic. Grant Hanley has tonight signed for Hibs.
2-year contract.
What do you make of that?
I think it's a really, really good signing. Obviously, his domestic football's been limited recently. Wants to stay within the Scotland setup. So he's coming into the top flight here. He's right under the nose of Steve Clarke. You know, they lost Lewis Miller to Blackburn. I know he's seen as predominantly as a right back, but he's playing within the back three. And you know, Grant Haney definitely gives the numbers. I'm just interested to see where he does play in the back three, because for me, Rocky Bashiri is at his best when he's in the middle of the three. But I also think Grant Hanley's the same. He's the best when he's in the middle of the three. So it'd be interesting to see how David Gray balances it up. But I don't think you can, you know, afford to turn down a Scotland international, you know, if they're available on a free transfer.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign, good experience. I've always liked him. He still looks fit. He's still a Scotland international, as Marv quite rightly points out. And he needed defender in because obviously the loss of Miller. So I think it's a good bit of business. It's obviously good enough for Hibs in the sense of wages and everything. It's good enough for Hanley to come back up to Scotland and get a fresh start in the Premier League with a club that done so well last season under a young, good manager. So I think that's a good bit of business for Hibs going forward.
01419511025. Give us a call. We'll try our very best to get you on next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So do give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind tonight. We are... Could you rustle that paper a bit louder for me?
Sure.
Right next to the mic as well.
I'm getting excited for a full time teaser.
Chance you got. Anyway, we are 20 minutes away from kickoff at Ibrox. A big game tonight anyway. Then you add in Russell Martin's reaction and Rangers' performance at the weekend. Then you add in the fact that he has backed it up with some significant changes tonight. So a lot of intrigue heading into kickoff at Ibrox. Celtic have made a new signing. We've still got a game from last night to discuss. There is a lot happening. So get your calls in on 01419511025. I have...
Is that the teaser coming?
That's the full-time teaser. It just got handed to me out of shot. Producer Jay was on his toes because I left it in the office earlier on. Anyway, thank you to Cameron McQueen for sending in. Can you name the last three players from the Czech Republic and the last three players from Slovakia who've played 20 or more games for an Old Firm side? So it's obviously... linked to Victoria Pilsen tonight and potentially 20 Celtic more support. Games. So the last three players from the Czech Republic and the last three players from Slovakia
have
played 20 or more games for an Old Firm side. I think you will be terrible.
I'm going to be absolutely ridiculous at this.
You're going to name people who are from 10,000 miles away from
exactly,
the Czech Republic.
Australian. Mm-hmm.
I've got nothing.
I don't think
offer.
Your big pal's going to help you out by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Massively
you.
Out of my comfort zone. Yeah.
What is your comfort zone? Yeah. Hibs 2015 to 2018.
Slovakia and Czech Republic.
Maybe you should come back to us if the phone lines are lighting up. I've got nothing.
You're heading for a zero here.
Oh, go.
The second half that was at Celtic. Is that one?
Yeah.
Free kick taker. Oh, what's his name?
Sorry?
Nakamura. Free kicks. No, centre half.
Took free kicks?
Yeah.
Oh, what? I don't even know who you mean.
No, I can't think of his name.
What does he look like?
I can't think of many.
Look at Baki's strip. Draw him.
I can't think of many. Virgil van Dijk took free kicks. I'm sure you don't mean him.
No. Right.
I must admit, I don't think...
He's on there.
No.
Okay.
I don't even know who you mean, but I don't think you're
Nor
right.
Nor do I. That's the problem.
Anyway.
Okay,
right.
Let's move on.
Couple of calls lined up here. Ben is on first. He's a Hearts fan. Ben, what did you make of last night? What's happening with
evening,
you getting into the new season? Good, thank you. Good.
Yeah, I was there last night. I couldn't be any more impressed with how we started the pre-season and then took that into the game yesterday. I think no way to get carried away. We are only one game in, but we look strong all over the park. The new season, the new signings, look great. I think McInnes has already spoken, but he's going to make Tynecastle such a hard place for people to come this year. I was at all the League Cup games and the game against Sunderland as well and thought, yeah, we look a really different side. There's a real good feel factor about the club just now, so I just wanted to hear what the guys thought about not just the game last night, but about Harps' chances for seriously competing up the top end this year.
Yeah, I think the team definitely looks a lot stronger. You know, Derek McInnes has put his kind of stamp on it early doors. You know, the ball was constantly going wide and balls coming into the box. One of the things for me, Ben, was when James Penrice left the football club, I thought it would leave a massive hole. And it doesn't seem to have because, you know, he's came in and made a massive difference. Is it Milne his name is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's came in and done extremely well. He had to be patient at the back end of last season. Had a really, really good game yesterday. I just think they look... like a well-balanced team. I think you have a little bit of everything within it, and that's with like big players like Beningame as well, who's out injured at this moment in time. What do you think of Braga at the top end? I was, you know, he's looked really, really sharp for you guys. Obviously, Wilson came off the bench, but I think, you know, you look at the top end of the pitch, you boys look strong as well.
100%. He looked great in all the times he came on pre-season. I think between him, Shankland and Wilson, they're all going to play a huge part this year. It's great to have the options. I think that's been a problem in years gone by. We maybe had a strong 9, 10, 11, but then we were looking at the bench and when we were making substitutions in the final 30 minutes of the game or so, we were making the team weaker. We weren't strengthening, whereas now, I think you could field two alternate 11s and still be comfortable in all different positions. As you said, I think Milne's been superb. The biggest compliment he can get is that we've not noticed Penrice is away. You're absolutely spot on. I think Braga will be a massive part of this season.
I always love players like Harry Milne, just that trajectory. 28 now, but you know, played at Cove and done his bit, earned his stripes, proved that he can step up to Partick Thistle and then step up, yeah. You know, and it's not easy. I think, well, once you get, well, he's only been there, what, less than a year, is it? You're in your kind of mid to late 20s still at Partick Thistle, but then that next step is there and it's possible and catching everyone's eye last night.
They look a good squad. They look very strong in all departments. And obviously Derek, given the job, knows the Scottish game inside out, knows what it takes. Look, I know that some Hearts fans and people inside the building are already talking about splitting Celtic Rangers. For me, that will not happen. I don't think it will.
No?
I think
they'll ever?
Not this season.
No, but I think to be fair...
Look, you can never say never. Right, that's my great statement. Never say never.
That's your statement.
Yeah, that's it. I've used that one for many a year.
Trademarks.
Never say never. I don't think it'll happen this season, but I think Hearts are going the right direction. My biggest disappointing thing about that game last night, I wish Shanklin's goal could have scored. Yeah. That was sensational.
I think we've got the power to petition IFAB that just every team gets one, just one per season, yeah, where if the goal's so good, you get to veto the decision and it stands just once.
I even applauded it sitting in the house. It was that good. And I thought, please don't rule that off.
Here's what I really liked. Well, not as much as the goal, but did you see him after it hit the back of the net? The awareness.
Yeah.
Have you seen someone zoomed in and he mouths to Frankie Kent? He says, Halks is offside.
It's offside. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always thought that, well, clearly you guys have played and that's why mere mortals like me will never hit those heights, but I always thought just everything that's going on, Shanklin will just be concentrating on getting the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But he knew straight away that was... what do you think, Marvin? You know, Ben's other wider point is about the place that the Hearts are in, and Tony Bloom's had a lot to say. Gordon says never say never, but, you know, maybe struggling with the notion that they can split the top two.
Listen, if there's a man that can do it, I think Tony Bloom is the man. He's proved that he's done it with Union. I think they're in the second division, and he spoke about them being within Europe in 5 years, and they ended up winning the league. So, yes, listen, it's massively ambitious. We know how strong and how dominant, you know, Celtic and Rangers are when it comes to those top two positions. But I think they have the right man in place, you know, financially. Not only financially, he has the players and understands what's needed. So, yeah, listen... He's ambitious with it. He's got Derek McKinnison, who knows the league. You know, why not? I think they'll give it a real good go, not only this season, but going forward as well. I've got a question for Ben. Ben, who's the number one goalkeeper for you this season?
I think it's got to be Clark. That's one position, actually, that probably goes under the radar, how much strength we actually have. I mean, Gordon speaks for itself and what he's done for the club over the years. Clark, another phenomenal goalkeeper. But the boy, Fulton as well, at what size he is. I remember seeing him when we played Hamilton at Broadwood. And although he never had much to do, he's a big lad and looked sharp, and everything that he had to do, he'd done right. So, and he's already said in an interview that he's desperate to learn off these guys and hopefully get game time. So, going to be trying to push himself to break in as well. So, yeah, no, I think Clark will be the number one. I think he'll get the nod most weeks. Just to touch on, though, about not splitting the Old Firm, I don't think we'll do it this year. Not, but having looked at Rangers in both the home and the away leg against Panathinaikos, I've no idea how they came out with a 3-1-1 and then watched them again on Saturday. Surely McInnes has got to be saying, and everyone involved with the club, look, this, you know, it's going to be competitive. It's there to be taken. It's not... Celtic have got enough quality. Everyone knows that and everyone's seen it, that the gap is huge. But going into this season, I don't see there's any reason why we can't be running that Rangers side for second, or certainly making it as close and as competitive towards the business end of the season as we can.
It's just the strength of those teams. If you're talking about, you know, obviously Rangers second last season, And, you know, they always find a way of kind of going to overdrive to separate themselves from the team that's in third place. And also, you know, the pressures are very, very different. At this moment in time, it's your owner or, you know, a shareholder speaking about, you know, can we separate the top two? But when you go into the latter stages of this season, the players start thinking and the fans start almost expecting now, you know, we're right on their coattails or we're just ahead of them. The pressure totally changes for those players. You know, I'm with Gordon. I just think it's such a difficult thing to do. We saw Aberdeen the way that they started last season and they would have been a shoo-in to do it. And all of a sudden they fell apart and then they ended up where they ended up in the season. I don't think that was just down to, you know, bad play from them. I think the pressure also got to the players. I just think that mentality side of it, you know, Rangers and Celtic have been there over the course so many times when it comes to finishing, whether it's first or second. I just think it's a real, real difficult thing to do.
But as you say, if there's one man in European football that's allowed to say it, it's the guy who masterminded USG doing it in Belgium, really, isn't it? I think that's at least fair. Let's thank Ben and bring in Hugh. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, good evening. How are we?
Good, Hugh. How are you? You must have been impressed with what you saw from your Motherwell team at the weekend.
Very impressed. Extremely impressed. And I obviously said to your producer before that I'm going to make a controversial statement here.
Well, that's what we like.
We've got the best midfield in Scotland, without a shadow of a doubt. I've watched them now. I would even put Celtic in that, because Celtic are unsure at the minute.
I'd love that to be true.
I was going to be controversial. Our pressing game, our high game, is phenomenal. And what I want to stop yourselves and all the rest of the media doing is saying Rangers were poor. Give us a little bit of credit. We're by far the better team for over 60 minutes of the game. Then all we keep on hearing is Rangers were poor.
I think both things can be true, to be fair. I mean, I was as happy as Hugh was. And you and I were exchanging text messages on Saturday night talking about how good it was.
What we've got to look at, sorry Gordon, what we've got to look at is, why were Rangers poor? Because Muller were too good.
Yeah, but listen, I think it's quite a harmless way of looking at it. Like, Rangers can still be bad, Muller can still be good. You're right, they deserve credit. We'll give them it. There's a supply and demand nature more. It's like even in England, if you watch, if Brentford beat Man U, the conversation goes to how bad Man U are. It's sort of natural. However, get back to the positives. Hugh's left you with a bombshell. He says Motherwell have got the best midfield in Scotland. I thought he was going to say outside Celtic, and then he's included Celtic.
Yeah. I don't think he'll have many people backing him. No, I've got to.
Are you laughing at?
I've got to say,
Mr. Livingston.
You know,
sorry, Gordon, carry on.
You're not having that.
No, come on. No, just no.
They were magnificent.
Not outside Celtic. They still don't have the best midfield.
Livy. Outside Livy.
Yeah, outside Livy and Celtic, maybe. Come on, like, listen, they were really, really good. Definitely. And I agree with you, Hugh. Listen, deserve massive credit for the way that Motherwell played at the weekend. You know, the way that they pressed Rangers, the way that they were playing out from the back, et cetera, et cetera. But then you just lost me when you said about having the best midfield. And I just can't go away from thinking about what you said there, mate.
We'll find out and get Marvin Morgan when we play Livy.
Second best. Livy don't have the second best midfield. So if you could pick any midfield out of Celtic's midfield, then who's the three midfielders that you're picking? If you could pick anyone, any three.
What, to get in Muller's team?
No, just any three. You're picking a select from the Scottish top flight. Out, you included Celtic, but we'll take Celtic out of it to help you out. So from the remaining 11 teams, who's the midfield three that you're picking?
Well, apart from Motherwell.
Over Motherwell?
No, with Motherwell. So you can include the Motherwell players.
He's saying they're the best midfield.
So them three, what three midfielders are you talking about?
Slattery, Fadinger and Watt.
Oh, so Miller's not even in there.
He didn't play.
Then. Well, exactly. So those three are better than him. So if Lennon Miller stays at Motherwell, he shouldn't start.
I never said that, but where do you...
But you said you had the best three midfielders, so who are the best three?
Who do you take out that midfield to put Miller in? Now, Miller would obviously shine in that because of the way they play.
So those three midfielders are better than Lennon Miller as well?
And I'll tell you one thing. See, between Callum Watt and Lucas Fadinger, those two are must be up for player of the year this year.
Already?
We've had one game. What is going on here? What's happening? What is going on here?
That's what's
going to happen. See if Motherhood won on Saturday at the weekend. Champions League.
Yeah. I don't know.
Winners.
I don't like you two mocking the Steelmen. I'll not have that in my head. It's Elliot Watt, by the way, but I know that was a wee slip from Hugh. I'm sure he knows. But give a bit of credit. Marvin.
I said Motherwell were absolutely brilliant. Totally agree with it. The way that they played and everything about them, the new style of play. they deserve huge credit, as Hugh said, and they maybe didn't get as much credit as they deserve because, like you said there, Gordon, it's always about the bigger team, and they were slightly off it. They were off it because
Russell Martin's comments
forced them to
put it in the spotlight even more.
Yeah, and they've still Andy Halliday, come on.
Oh, exactly. Hugh's comments are bigger than Russell Martin's for me because that was wild what he just said there about the midfielders. I can't forget about that.
Yeah. Right, okay. Thank you to Hugh. I love it, Hugh, because you've got him going. Anything that annoys him is right up my street, Hugh. Thank you very much. Kick off at Ibrox is next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dale are here. We're about to kick off at Ibrox. Let's go back to Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, Russell Martin talked the talk on Saturday and he's backed it up with his team selection tonight. Fans had been calling for changes. He'd been calling for more commitment and effort and energy, less ego, less self-preservation from his players, and he's made the changes tonight to try and fix that. Out go captain James Tavernier, Kieran Dowell drops out as well, Nico Raskin is on the bench, and Danilo is out of the starting lineup as well. In come Jeff Dee, new signing Oliver Antman, Lyle Cameron and Cyril Dessers are in there as well. So it's Jack Butland in goal, the back four, Max Ahrens, Nasser Chica, John Souter, who captains the team tonight, and Jeff Day at left back. The midfield three, Joe Rothwell, Mohamed Diamande and Lyle Cameron. It's then Oliver Antman and JD Gassama either side of Cyril Dessers. The options on the bench, Kelly, Tavernier, Cortez, Barron, Bairami, Dowell, Fernandez, Raskin, Rice, Gentles, Curtis and Danilo. The referee, Clement Turpin, looks at his watch and we are underway at Ibrox.
And something earlier on, we were speculating a bit. I think we suggested maybe Jack Butland was the captain. It's actually John Souter. Yeah, you did. You called it. You know your stuff. Right, go on then, give us a match prediction for Rangers against Victoria Pilsen.
I'm going for a Rangers home win. I think they'll be 2-0 tonight.
Oh, I was going to say 2-0 as well. I'll go 2-1. 2-1 Rangers.
I should have brought this up when Hugh was on the line there, but your predictions for Park and Saturday were good. What did Hugh go? 4-0 Rangers, was
it? No. I went 3-1 Rangers.
No, Hugh, I said.
Oh, Hugh. Yeah. By the way, what about Ross McCormack?
Just 1-1. He did say 1-1. Yeah. See, former Motherwell player, he had a bit of faith. He called it bang on.
Yeah, I went 3-1. Totally wrong. But it's only the first one of the season.
Just, you've had a bit of time to digest it over the break. You're still not having Motherwell with the best midfield in Scotland.
No. I'm definitely not having that. Like, I could not believe what I was hearing.
Hugh's the only caller I've seen Marv taking his personal number and putting it on his phone.
He's even saying including Celtic. He said, no, let's take Celtic out of it. And still, if you pick the best three, like, I'm not being funny. Those three that played, they were absolutely fantastic. But their best midfielder wasn't actually playing in the game. Lennon Miller. So how can they be the best three?
So you're telling me that Elliot Watt isn't better than Callum McGregor?
It's close, but unfortunately, Elliot, if you're listening, mate, I highly respect you as a footballer, but you know, Callum McGregor is a lot better than him. Even look at this midfield here. Like, I'm over the course of a season, I'm taking these three are starting here. I'm taking Raskin, who's on the bench. I'm looking at Hibbs and taking, you know, some of their midfielders.
Mulligan, Levitt, McGrath. Listen, you don't have to take it so seriously, Marvin. You don't have to take it so personally.
No, I was he made a good point that, you know, they weren't getting the respect that they deserve, and then he just lost everything when he said that. Absolutely. He really upset me.
It's actually a nice move from Rangers, Gordon. They've sort of cut Pilsen open and got to the byline, back to front, but Gassama tries to put it across and then the keeper comes and gets it.
Yeah, they've had a good opening start to it. Good move down the left-hand side there. A wee bit disappointed in the cross, but look, it's all about that reaction. Russell Martin's made the changes tonight, big changes, you've got to say as well. So the Rangers fans and the Rangers manager and coaching staff will be looking for a big performance.
Do you know what I was shocked at? And every time I do this, it just makes me feel older. I notice that Matej Vidra, remember him? Yeah. Of like English championship fame, is playing for Victoria Pilsen. He's a captain. Ties. And I thought, he must be in his 40s. He's only 33. Who's he younger than me, that guy?
He's
he feels like he's been about for a long, long time.
Was it Derby where he scored all the goals? He had like electric season somewhere.
Quite a few at Derby. Was he decent at Watford maybe?
Watford,
was that one of the ones?
Yeah. He's really young at Watford, wasn't he?
Burnley.
Forestieri.
He's been about only 33, but anyway, he's playing this evening. And Rangers just looking to feel their way into this one. They are pressing high. Cyril Dessers, Gordon. Is that a big night for him? Or does it actually not? Because his future's sort of up in the air, maybe that side of things needs to take priority first, finding out whether he's actually going to be there.
He'll be looking to get in amongst the goals tonight. He'll be hoping to get that. Of course he will. I like Dessers. You know I do. Last year I did predict top goal scorer. I think given a run of games, he'll score you goals. I just do. I know he frustrates the life out of some Rangers fans with the chances it gives up, but I think he works hard, and Russell Martin alluded to that at the weekend. I think he's a good team player, and I think he can get you goals. So if he's not going to be out of Ibrox by the time the transfer window closes, then for me, he's the number one centre forward.
I think he has to take a massive bid to get rid of him as well. You know, I think, is it 3 or 4 million people are talking about? I don't think that's nearly enough money, you know, for someone who's top goal scorer last season. And I say that because of the goals that he scored, but also you've seen what the team's like up front without him in terms of Danilo. And I don't think 3 or 4 million gets you a lot in the transfer market. So I'd want to keep him, you know, unless Dessers was to come in and say to Rangers he wants to leave the football club. I think you keep him unless you're getting double that amount of money.
Because, and then you're probably not going to because of his age and so on. It just feels like the keeping him is easier, isn't it? Than trying to find someone better, but you never know.
Just watching it early on, I think young Lyle Cameron's getting about it very early.
He's been on the ball a lot, hasn't he?
A lot of touches, good movement. He'll be eager to please as well.
The Dundee fans will be pleased to see him doing well after his interview earlier.
I'm
going to stick up for him, by the way.
I think there's the pressure of interviews and all that, but he came across like he had signed for Rangers from Dundee North End rather than Dundee.
I think that's what it was going. I think the pressure of doing that interview is like...
And he's wanting to talk up his new surroundings, but... Yeah, like I say, kind of made it look like he'd come from...
Listen, he's a young man, isn't he? Like I said, been put in the kind of spotlight ahead of a young Champions League qualifier, so I've been giving some sympathy, but someone we're not giving sympathy to is Hugh, who was on the line.
Listen, you two are about to get humiliated, I think, on this full-time teaser.
I've got one.
Can you name the last three players from the Czech Republic and the last three players from Slovakia who've played 20 or more games for an Old Firm side? You've got none so far.
Czerny must be one, isn't it?
Václav Czerny, well done.
Right.
Easy one. By a mile, the easiest.
The guy that played against Scotland, his dad's...
Oh, the manager.
Vice.
Yeah. Vladimir Vice, yes.
Right, okay. We're now in dangerous territory here. Were they Jaraski or something played with Celtic?
Polish.
Ah, was he?
I thought your wrong answers were going to be worse than that. Like the time, my favourite of all time, ever heard about the Beat the Pundit where he was asked where Bevis Mugabe was from and he said Argentina. Easily my favourite.
Wait, it could have been.
What was that calling you, Hugh?
This is not his strong point. I don't think he's got any.
Hold on. See the wee guy that played up front for Rangers?
I mean, you didn't get me more right.
Sebo.
Well, he wasn't wee.
Who? He was. Sebo. He played. Where was he from?
He's right. Well done.
What's his name?
Philippe Sebo.
Sebo.
Never heard of him.
Nah, when was that?
Come on.
It didn't work out particularly well for him, and it became like a thing. Yeah, like people would like mock his misses and so on. Anyway, Sebo,
I've never even heard of him.
Yeah. You've got two Czechs and one from Slovakia.
It must be from Celtic.
The two of them are Celtic. One is Rangers.
No, I'm struggling.
And the current Rangers team have just had a bit of a let off, a powerful header, got up above Max Aarons and had Jack Butland scrambling. It went wide in the end, but a sign of what's potentially to come, because Jeffy was beaten, so then Suter had to go out, which obviously we know centre-backs don't want to do, and everyone has to come across, and then you've got Aarons having to defend a header from someone much bigger than him.
Yeah, and he was out-jumped and they were lucky that it didn't hit the target. Jeffy down their left-hand side, he's good going forward, isn't he? He's defending. Sometimes
bizarre, yeah, that defending there. He kind of looked like a centre forward that was back there defending.
Yeah.
He let him skip past him far too easy. Like you said there, Gordon, and the ball goes far post. And it's difficult for Aarons in that position. Yes, he's given away a lot of height, but also the winger had to run on him, or the centre forward had to run on him. He's a big boy as well.
So a warning sign, because we said Rangers had started well. Now a Jack Butland kick only makes its way into midfield and is intercepted.
They look a better team right now, let me tell you.
Rangers started a little bit nervy, haven't they? Yeah, after the first couple of minutes.
They're starting to play themselves into this game.
Something we speak about a lot, but particularly now, because it's only a couple of games in, but that the patience levels will probably have dropped a bit, won't they? Just because there was so much frustration from the weekend. You heard, and I know travelling fans it can be a bit more concentrated. But you heard the reaction to the Rangers players at full time. Yeah. Not going to get that long to perform.
Yeah, and here's a wee worry here, Dessers has
been
down.
I think he's just taken a...
Are we not?
Might be a bit wounded.
It was old Marvin Bartley challenge that. Oof.
Oh, it's wounded, that's isn't yours. That's one of yours, Marvin. Wounded. You would have been proud.
He's up, actually.
Let him know he's in the game.
Yeah, wow. You wouldn't have been proud. He's up.
Nah, I've been fuming.
Right, quickly on the teaser anymore. Need clues.
For the first one, I want to hear the music.
Yeah, give us clues. Who's that big left centre back that played with Celtic?
Yes, that's the one. I'd say you're looking for.
Hold
it. Slovakian, played for Celtic 2003 to 2006.
What was his name?
Lubo.
No, he's not a defender.
He was in
2003.
Yep.
It was Scottish football in 2000. I didn't know.
I'm struggling, mate. Give us initials.
SV.
Varga.
Stan Varga. Yes. Right. The two Czech. One for Celtic was a former teammate of Mark Wilson's. He also played for Chelsea.
Initials.
JJ.
Oh, winger. No.
Jarić Fitch or something.
Yuri Jarasic. And the other one you would never get. Rangers 2006 to 2007. I think Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna would get it, but you wouldn't. LS. Nah, you won't get it.
Stella.
Roger Hanna's not the man he used to be. I don't think he would have got it.
He would have. Libor Sionko.
Oh, what? Never heard him.
This is the hardest tease I've ever had.
Yeah. Still Rangers 0, Victoria Pilsen 0, or is it? Yes, it is tipped away because Gassama was lurking. But anyway, whatever happens tonight, you better believe we will reflect on it tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. So make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.